There are real issues here in St. Louis of this, the polarization. And so it seems to me that we have to ask the question, so what do we do? What do we do? This is going to blow over, right? Of course it will. But the issues will still be here. The issues haven't left for my whole life. These issues have been very real, right? And I'd have to admit, this last few weeks, I've been incredibly heavy. I guess my heart has been heavy. Luke put it well. My heart has been heavy in this, all of this. I've been really discouraged by a lot of things, to tell you the truth, but this one hits me really deeply. It's been an issue in my life. I've watched it for 60 years now. And it seems to be as explosive as ever. And I think, what do we do? What do we do? All these things that we've done, so many of us lived through the 60s and the civil rights movement, through the race riots of the 60s. I remember those. Why is it not solving? Why is it not getting better? Or maybe it is, but I just know today, this week in our city, this has been hard, right? So we ask, what do we need to do? Let me ask the question, what should I do? I've come to a place where I haven't given up on corporate things. I think we need to do things. But I also know, what do we do? But the real question is, what do I do? What do I need to do? How do I get involved? What do I do about this whole issue? And I think at the end of this morning, I want to ask you the question, what do you do? What can you do? Don't wait for corporate. Don't wait for big, government. Don't wait for what? What can you do to make a difference in this? When the Ferguson thing blew up several years ago, I wrote a paper. I didn't hand it out. I just wrote a paper. But my observation was this, is that sometimes we've been told as the church that we need to be, rather than a thermometer, simply reading the temperature of the culture, we need to become the thermostat that determines the culture, that determines the heat of the culture. And as much as I think that that's true on one level, I think there is a danger. Because when we decide that we're going to be the leaders, we're going to be the thermostat, it's easy to get caught up in the agendas of different sides. Because you begin to say, well, we've got to speak out against that and speak for this or against that and for this. And you begin to fall into the trap of agendas. Because there's a lot of agendas out there. Even in the church, there's a lot of different agendas. And you go, well, what do we buy into? And what do you inadvertently get caught in all the agendas of this? But it made me, and it brought me to the point where it seems to me that Jesus didn't call us to be the leaders of the culture. Jesus called us to be light and salt. And if that ends up being the leader of the culture, so be it. But what if it doesn't? He still calls us to be light and salt. To be light in a dark place. To be salt in a tasteless place. No matter what that looks like or what it costs, that we have to be salt and light. And it may not be the agenda of the right or the agenda of the left or the agenda of whatever. And it made me think about this passage in Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. I love this passage. So you guys, in Joshua, what's happening here is Moses has led the people around in the wilderness for 40 years. And because one day he got mad and God said, told him not to hit a rock, and he hit a rock to get water out of it because he was mad, God said, you're not going into the promised land, Moses. Wow. You better be careful. So the guy who took over as the leader was a guy named Joshua. And so the whole book of Joshua is about him taking over as a leader and them moving into the promised land. And when they come to the River Jordan at flood stage, it says that the Joshua led them and that the priests went, stepped into the water first before it would stop. And then it stopped and they walked across on dry land. And when the people of the land heard about it, they became incredibly afraid. Like, oh my gosh, their God is awesome. And they go across and they build a memorial for what God had done. And then the first place that they're going to go and to conquer is Jericho. And before they get to Jericho, it says that Joshua went out and it was basically surveying the land. And here's what happens. Look at this in verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. Now, before we go any farther, you think, well, who is this guy? It doesn't really tell us who it is. Some would say it was the pre-incarnate Christ who appeared to him. Maybe. It doesn't say that exactly, but possibly. Or it was an angel, which I think is probably a better possibility based on the context here that we'll read in a minute. But here is this guy, it just says a man, standing with a sword in his hand. Okay, a little intimidating. And Joshua went to him, and he said to him, hey, are you for us or are you for them? You know, I mean, it's a really logical question, right? It must have been a fairly imposing figure. And he says, who are you here for? Because I hope you're on our side. But are you for us or are you for them? And look at the answer. And he, the man standing there with a sword, said, no. You're like going to say, what do you mean no? You know, I asked you, are you for them or are you for us? He said, no. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. That's usually ascribed to an angelic figure, often one of the angelic figures that we have a name for, whether it be Gabriel or Michael or whoever, being the commander of the armies of the Lord. So it seems to be that this was probably an angelic figure. Whoever he was, he says, man, I'm here for the Lord. And he says, now I have come. Whoa. It's like he's saying this. When Joshua says, now are you here? Are you on our side or are you on their side? He says, here's the deal. I didn't come here to take sides. I came here to take over. It's my agenda that's being unfolded here. And you need to understand that, Joshua. Yes, I've led you here, but don't get up on your high horse and think you've got it together. You need to obey me. This is going to be my agenda that I'm here for. I'm not taking their side and I'm not taking your side. I came here for my side. And you need to get on my side. I came here to take over. And look at that. It kind of unfolds that. It says here, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You can see it. He's like, all right, I've got the picture. I need to do what you're calling me to do. I need to hear you. I'll follow you. What does my Lord say to his servant? And then look at this, verse 15. And the commander of the Lord's army, there's a Y there. I know you can't see it, but it's there. The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. It's holy. It's the same thing he said to Moses. Remember back when Moses, the burning bush, and it's God presenting himself, and he said to Moses, take off your sandals. This is a holy ground. And Moses bows. And he knows this is God speaking. I'm going to bow before him. And it says here, and Joshua did so. It seems to me that as we approach this, the whole issues, that is a long-standing, difficult issue in our culture, that we can't say, God, you be on our side or you be on theirs. He said, man, I came here to take over. You need to get on my agenda. You need to do what I'm calling you to do. Not the left or the right, or the white or the black, or the liberal or the conservative. I've got an agenda here, and it's my agenda that's going to run this thing. And are you going to get in line with that, or are you going to do your own thing? What is that thing? So, it seems to me, and I thought about this verse, it's a very common verse in Micah 6:8. Micah is a minor prophet. It's a short prophet. It's not short, but a short book. And basically saying, Israel, you're so out of line with what I want to do that I need to both discipline you and restore you. And so that's what Micah's saying to the people. But in the midst of that, this passage, I think, applies to this. He says, and he has told you, O man, what is good. So God is speaking to them. He's saying, God, this is what's good. Here's what's good and right. And what does the Lord require of you? It's probably a very fair question for us to ask today. In all of our lives, probably, in every aspect of our lives. But maybe even as this issue in our city is so intense right now, what does the Lord require of you and me today? What does he require of you and me tomorrow? What would we need to do? I love this passage. I think it's full of truth. What does the Lord require of you? But, here are three things. But to do justice. I want you to do justice. I want you to do what's right. Now, what's just in all of this verdict issue? I can't sit here and announce to you what's justice. We probably all have different feelings about that. But all I know is going forward from here, we need to do what's right. To do what's just before God. To do what honors him. And to stand for that. And we need to love kindness. Justice without kindness is harsh and it's vindictive. But kindness without justice is really soft. It doesn't have much backbone to it. But we need to do justice. We need to love kindness. And maybe most importantly, we need to walk humbly with our God. That we would walk humbly behind him and let him lead, and that we would follow. That we need to walk humbly with God himself in the midst of this. So easy to get prideful. It's so easy to get kind of on our own agenda. And he says, no, I want you to walk humbly with me in all of this. So, what would that look like for you? What would that look like for you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. What would that look like? I don't know for sure what it looks like for you. I think I'm at a place personally where I'm not sure organizing corporately feels like the answer. It doesn't seem like it's answered anything for 60 years of my life. All I know, All I know is that when my dad invited Ernell and Wade to our house, he did a redemptive act. It was a connecting act. It was a caring act. And he made a difference in their lives. And it wasn't a corporate thing, right? He just decided to do something. Do something positive. Do something redemptive. And so I want to ask you, you know, what does it look like? For you, what does it look like? Maybe we go to this last line. For you, what does it look like to do it? For me, what might it look like to do something? And maybe it's not going to change everything overnight. Probably won't, right? Of course it won't. But this animal is going to, you know, it's like eating an elephant. Where do you start? You know, right? We just one bite at a time. That's how you eat an elephant, is one bite at a time. This is going to be an elephant, right? It's a big deal. It's huge. Let's just eat it one bite at a time. Let's make a difference. So what are some bites that you might be able to take to make a difference in our city? What would God call you to do? There's probably some things going through your mind already. Like, man, I could do that. I could do this. I could do whatever. I'm not trying to blow my horn here. This has been bugging me for about a month here. It's kind of ever since this case went to the judge. I've been thinking about this. And I just think, I don't know what to do. I'm discouraged with the continuing problem in our nation. And it's not just our nation, it's worldwide. These issues go big, right? And all we have to do is change colors, and we've got the issues in the Middle East, right? All we have to do is just change names. We got the issues worldwide. So, but what do we do right here? Right here. So I just decided all I know what to do. This is all I know what to do. Is that when I see, when I'm in the presence of, when I'm around, people with which there seems to be division, we're polarized from in our culture. A lot of times that looks like black and white in our culture. So I've just decided I have to somehow walk across the room. I just have to walk across the room and say hi. So it's been awkward. It's been weird, you know, sort of, kind of. So Diane and I were down at Forest Park a couple of weeks ago, taking a walk. And when we got done, there was a table of African-American guys sitting there. All guys my age, you know, so it wasn't like totally weird, but all guys my age. But I just thought, I just need to go say hi. I just need to say, hi, my name's Kevin. And I feel like we live in a city that has great division and we're getting torn apart, and I don't want to, and I just want you to know that. It was a little weird. You know, they looked at me like, okay, that's a little weird. But they engaged it. It's all I knew what to do. A few days later, I was sent on a grocery run to Trader Joe's for some ice cream. And it was great. But when I got to Trader Joe's, there was a bench outside, and there was an African-American man sitting on it. And so I just said, okay, Kevin, you know, suck it up. Do what's right, will you? And so I just went down, and I said, excuse me, can I sit down with you for a moment? And he said, sure. And I just said, hey, I just want you to know our city's being torn apart. I don't like it. I don't know what to do about it. All I know what to do is say hello to you, and I don't want to be part of that. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he said, well, that's kind of weird. He goes, well, you just made my day. And I said, I didn't say, hey, I'm a pastor. Frankly, that puts you in a negative light, so I stayed away from that. I didn't even say I was a Christian. You know, I was like, I just want you to know, I don't want to be a part of that. And it was funny because I went in and did my shopping for ice cream, and I was about to check out, and he came up to me, and he said, hey, can we take a picture together? And for some reason, he wanted my sunglasses on, so I put my sunglasses on, and I don't know exactly why, and he goes, hey, and he calls his wife over, and he goes, hey, take a picture of us, and he goes, I'll explain it to you later, to his wife. I'm like, whatever, you know, and he puts his arm around me, we take this picture, and at the end of it, he just gives me this big hug, and he says, I love you. I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And then, gone. I mean, it was no more, you know, it was just, see ya. Yesterday I was at the hospital, because I think the Lord's saying this. This is an issue of obedience for me, because I feel like this is what he's calling me to. He's not calling me to lead a citywide movement. He's not even calling me to lead a churchwide movement. He's calling me to do something. So I was at the hospital last night. Bill Baer, one of our BLT leaders, is going to have quadruple bypass surgery in the morning. So pray for him, 7:15. He's got a lot of blockage, and they're going to go in and fix it up. So pray for Bill, okay, and Annie and the family. But so I was at the hospital seeing him, and I'm walking up, and two black guys come walking out the door. And it's just like the Lord says, all right, you're going to obey me? You know, boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, okay, you know. And so I just stopped the two younger guys, and I just say, hey, can we talk for a second? And they're like, yeah. And I just told them the same thing. And they just said, yeah, man, this is crazy, isn't it? And I said, I just want us to be a part of the solution. And we shook hands, and we left. So it wasn't a big deal. Didn't take a picture. Didn't put my sunglasses on. Didn't know none of that stuff. But all I know is that's all I know what to do right now. Let me ask you, what can you do? What's God calling you to do to make a difference? Maybe you're going to lead a citywide deal. God bless you. Or maybe a churchwide deal. Or maybe a family-wide deal, or maybe just you. What's he calling you to do to make a difference? And we won't fix it overnight, will we? It hasn't been fixed for a long time. But we can make a difference individually, wherever we live, whatever we do. We can make a difference. If each of us do something, you guys, there'll be 150 people doing something. And it's what God calls you to do. What he asks you to step into, to obey him for. Because our city is in desperate need of something that's going to be redemptive. That we would do justice, that we would love kindness, and we would walk humbly with our God. Because he came not to take sides, but to take over. And I mean, he means business, and he wants to take over. What does that mean for you? I assume he'll speak to you and lead you wherever that might be. All right, let's pray. Father, this issue in our city is real. It's long. It's deep. It will eventually heal over, or maybe at least blow over. I don't know if it'll heal. But I do pray that you would help us to be a part of a healing group. That in the places where you call us and do what you ask us to do, that we would be a part of a healing element to a really deep and painful issue. And Father, there's all sorts of issues out there. There's all sorts of agendas, and some of them are evil agendas that are getting played out. And even people taking advantage of this turmoil for their own thing. I pray that you would squash evil, that you would bring it to an end. But I pray that we would not put down issues that are real, that we would address them and we would engage them. But Father, I pray first and foremost that you would put us in touch with people, face to face, heart to heart, that we would engage people. Father, I thank you for my neighbors who are African American, who are such a joy. And it breaks my heart to think of people hurting them, calling them whatever they call them. May I not stand for it. Father, the inhumanity that we do to each other is disgusting. And you, I think, have called us to something much higher, something much more profound. So I pray that you would just guide us as a church and as individuals to be a redemptive and healing piece of the future of this city.